Good morning.
Good morning.
This morning's scripture reading is taken from Acts 4, verses 1 through 12. Peter and John before the Sanhedrin. The priests and the captain of the temple guard and the Sadducees came up to Peter and John while they were speaking to the people. They were greatly disturbed because the apostles were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection of the dead. They seized Peter and John, and because it was evening, they put them in jail until the next day. But many who heard the message believed, and the number of men grew to about 5,000. The next day, the rulers, elders, and teachers of the law met in Jerusalem. Annas, the high priest, was there. So were Caiaphas, John, Alexander, and the other men of the high priest's family. They had Peter and John brought before them and began to question them. By what power or what name did you do this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers and elders of the people, if we are being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a cripple and are asked how he was healed, then know this, you and all the people of Israel. It is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. He is the stone you builders rejected, which has become the capstone. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved." May the Lord bless the reading of today's scripture.
Thank you, Orly. I wonder if there's anything harder on our ego than being rejected. I suspect that's one of the reasons that many married persons are happy they're no longer playing the dating game. It hurts too much to ask someone out and they reject you, and then you start thinking, well, what's wrong with me? What did I do? Am I not good enough? You would have to have thick skin even to risk such a response. Rejection. What a cruel thing to happen to anyone, and yet it happens to all of us sooner or later. You apply for a job, you believe it is the perfect fit for you, but your prospective employer has other ideas. Hire someone else. Rejection. You work hard on a proposal at work. You know your boss will be delighted. Instead, she is more impressed by her co-worker's idea. Rejection. It happens to everybody. It happens to best-selling authors. Ken Taylor's paraphrased version of the Bible, which is called the Living Bible, was rejected by 63 publishers. He finally self-published it, and the Living Bible became one of the biggest sellers of all time. Chicken Soup for the Soul by Jack Canfield and Mark Victor Hansen was rejected 140 times, and yet they turned it into a series of books that have made both of them very, very rich individuals. Stephen King's disturbing work, Carrie, was rejected 30 times. Supposedly after the final rejection, King threw it into the trash can and his wife came and retrieved it later. It happens to celebrities. When Steven Spielberg applied to the film school of both UCLA and USC, he was rejected. But I think Spielberg has done all right for himself. Director of many blockbusters, one of the most well-known directors of all time. When Fred Astaire had his first screen test at MGM, the casting director wrote this memo: "Can't act, slightly bald, can dance a little." Cartoonist Charles Schulz of Peanuts fame had every cartoon that he ever drew rejected by his school's yearbook staff. So take heart. Rejection happens to everyone sooner or later. And if you're unable to deal with rejection, you're in trouble. Because sooner or later, you are going to be rejected. Our Master, Jesus Christ Himself, our Lord, was rejected. We read in today's lessons from Acts 4, "The stone that the builders rejected has become the head cornerstone or capstone." Luke, the writer of Acts, was quoting Psalms 118:22. He was saying that Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of that prophecy. The stone that was rejected has become the head cornerstone. Let's recap what is happening in the book of Acts. In chapter 3, there's a much beloved story about a lame man who's been carried to the temple gate called Beautiful. Friends or family brought him to the gate every day so he could beg. There were no social welfare programs. This is what he had to do to survive. When the poor man saw Peter and John about to enter the gate, he asked them for money, but boy, did he ever get a surprise that day. Peter turned to the man and said, "Silver and gold I don't have, but what I have I will give to you in the name of Jesus." And he said, "Walk." Then taking the lame man by the right hand, Peter helped him up. Instantly, the man's feet and ankles became strong, and he began walking, he began to jumping, and he began praising God. This was one happy man, and he should have been, being able to walk after being crippled for all that time. And people who recognized this man were filled with wonder and amazement, and they saw him carrying on like this, just kind of going berserk. And a huge crowd gathered, and Peter began preaching to the crowd about the resurrected Jesus and the power to heal that comes from Jesus Christ. Now, this disturbed the priests very, very much, and it disturbed the guard temple, the captain, because many who heard the message believed that the two apostles said people were starting to buy in to this Jesus movement. In fact, that day, the number of believers grew to about 5,000. The Sadducees were particularly disturbed by the apostles' claim that Jesus was resurrected from the dead, because one of their core tenets of their belief was there is no resurrection. And many Jews still believe that today. Christ's resurrection, if true, presented them with a real dilemma. It struck down their core, one of their core beliefs. And so they seized Peter and John and had them put in jail. If you're following, watching the story AD, the Bible, you're seeing some of this played out before you, and it's really an excellent show. The following morning, those who were disturbed by the apostles' teachings interrogated Peter and said, "By what power or what name did you do this?" They wanted to know, I mean, how can you do this? Who are you? And Peter took the opportunity to do a little teaching and preaching. Peter explained that whatever they saw the disciples doing was not being accomplished by their own power or strength, but by the power of the risen Christ. Peter also reminded them that this act of healing the lame man was an act of kindness. Surely that should take precedence over rules and regulations. This was the same Jesus whom the religious leaders had crucified, and in fulfillment of the scriptures, God had raised Jesus from the dead. So Peter further elaborates by repeating the beautiful verse already expressed in Psalm 112. "The stone you builders rejected has become the cornerstone," or capstone. He reminded all who were present that Jesus, although temporarily humiliated, was ultimately glorified. He is now the Redeemer, and no one can go before the Father unless they come through Him. There are some important things that our lesson today is saying to us. First of all, Jesus, the stone the builders rejected, is the cornerstone of our faith. If you take Jesus out, there is nothing left. Cornerstone or capstone is not simply a decorative stone used to finish off the corner of a building with a bit of architectural flair. Rather, it is that fundamental stone that structurally holds a building together. Visualize for a moment an old Roman archway built from two corners of carefully carved stone. When the two sides arc in towards each other at the top and begin to meet in the center, there's a triangular-shaped stone that sits in the middle and balances the two sides of the arc against each other. That is the capstone. And we see it, the architecture around Pittsburgh. It'll often be a different color stone. But if you remove that stone, the whole thing would fall to pieces. Make no mistake about it. Jesus is the capstone or cornerstone for all who follow Him and accept Him as Lord and Savior. German theologian David Michaelis taught that this passage from the Psalms concerning the cornerstone refers to a specific event that reportedly took place during the building of Solomon's temple. It said that this massive temple was built in relative silence. There was no pounding of hammers in the area. The reason there was no pounding of hammers is because the plans were so exact and perfect that the stone was perfectly shaped at the quarry. When the stones arrived at the building site, each one fit perfectly into place. But there was one huge stone that didn't seem to fit anywhere, so the builders pushed it to the side. Eventually it got in the way, so the workmen pushed it over the bank and it rolled down into the Kidron Valley that lay below. After the foundation had been laid, the time came to hoist the cornerstone into place. But the cornerstone could not be found anywhere. So they sent the workers back to the quarry and to the head men and asked the masons where it was. And they said, well, that was already delivered to you. You have it. Finally, it was deduced that it was the stone that had been rejected and rolled over the hill into the Kidron Valley. When it was retrieved, it slid perfectly into place, serving as a stone that held all the others in position. But Jesus is the only reliable foundation on which any of us can build our lives. You come to church, and if you don't have Jesus in it and with you and in your heart, you're just coming to worship. You have to have Jesus at the center of your life. Ellen Kennedy puts it this way: when I began to take Jesus seriously, I began to take a particular young woman with scorn. I felt contempt for her as I thought at her quick temper, her selfishness, her spiteful gossiping, and the way she took her loving family for granted. Anytime she was mentioned, I could think of very little good to say about this woman. Well, one day as I was leafing through an old photo album filled with photos of her, Jesus' Spirit spoke to my spirit and told me concerning this woman. That I've always loved her. Despite her failings, I have forgiven her. Said, I want you to forgive her and to love her too. She says, as I gazed at the young woman's face in the photos, my heart was filled with compassion for that girl. Along the way in searching for life's meaning, she had made many mistakes. And God made me a gentle love for her and the ability to forgive her for all the things that she had done. That moment of healing when I decided to forgive her and to love her also gave me a new strength and a new freedom to love others as never before. You see, the young woman in that photo album was me. Only Christ can change a person's heart and give us a true love for self, a true love for others, and that true love for God. Only God, when your heart is filled, can do that. Jesus, the stone the builders rejected, is the cornerstone of our faith. No way around it. You have to have Jesus. Jesus is the only reliable foundation on which we can build our lives. I truly believe that Jesus is the way, Jesus is the truth, and Jesus is the life. May God bless you. Amen.